This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome to our podcast, Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. And the Red Wings did not get lottery luck, and they have the 9th overall pick in the draft. They also have the 17th overall pick. We'll do a couple podcasts before the NHL draft actually commences. Today we're going to focus in on possibilities at 9. And also, we'll talk what their system's doing right now and the way their roster may look next year, aside from trades. Say they don't make any, what do they have in the system? They definitely will make trades, though. But Evan, I look at this draft, it's a bit like the NBA draft in the fact that there's high-end guys. Even people who don't know anything about hockey now know everything about Connor Bedard. Well, at least some things. And they've heard of Adam Fantilli, perhaps, the Hobey Baker winner at Michigan. And they've heard about, somebody like Will Smith at the World Development Tournament did well. There's a kid, Mitev Metkov, from Russia, who's a high-end guy. The Red Wings aren't going to get any of those guys. They're drafting 9th. But unlike the NBA draft, there's not this seismic drop-off into beef stew territory at number 5. Okay, nothing against beef stew, but the high end at 5 in the NBA, not much. NHL, there's still some potential. Now, I thought about this long and hard. A lot of the top centers won't be there. Top center like Leo Carlson is a Swedish kid who's very good. I'm sure they know everything about him. I doubt he's going to be there. I mentioned Will Smith from the U.S. Developmental Program. I doubt he's going to be there. The other centers, Delibird, Dvorsky, another Swedish kid. He's got some size, but not the best skater. I don't know. That would be a bit of a reach to me at 9, but a lot of people have him up in the top 10. And, there's a kid from Frölunda who's come on a little bit late this year, a junior kid. And obviously the Wings scout Sweden like everything. His name's David Edstrom. He's big and he's got some skill and he may fit. But honestly, if I'm Steve Yzerman and I'm looking at this draft and I'm looking at these players that go past, the spot where they're actually going to pick, and if one of those players doesn't fall to him, what I would be looking at is who's got top end one thing that the Red Wings could use. May not be their first priority, but it's definitely a priority. And, would it be a center like, Oliver Moore, who's a, U.S. developmental program guy. Nobody knows what his exceptional skill is, just that he's a really good player. Or a winger like Ryan Leonard. Now, I wouldn't be looking at that. The one player I like, for the Wings at 9, if everything falls the way it should be, is a winger from Owen Sound. Hey, you know where Owen Sound is, Evan?
I know it's an OHL team.
It is. They got a cool nickname. What is it?
The Sounders? I don't know.
The Attack.
Oh, really? Then just
I believe I'll it's be, the Attack.
Yeah. I'll be frank. The only reason I know that is because I have a couple mock drafts open up here. So I know the kid that you're talking about, Colby Barlow, correct?
Oh, there he goes. Colby Barlow. What mock draft, where do they have him at?
Number 9 to the Detroit Red Wings.
Seriously, which mock draft is that?
This is the hockeywriters.com.
Oh, there you go. And the reason
so, why, how credible
I'm, not, I'm not the only one that thinks that, huh?
Yeah. So do you want to hear what they have to say about him? They say that there's a lot of debate for him being a top 10 player because he has matured so quickly.
Right. Yeah, he's big, and he's 6'1", probably about 200 at this point. I think he's listed 185. But he's a pretty good skater. He's got a little chip to him, you know. He's tough. The reason I say that is his shot. You know, I've been watching Kobe Barlow here for the last few days. The one thing I notice, if he gets an opening, that thing's in the net. He's got a very accurate, strong shot, and he's strong on his skates, and he gets to spots. And again, it's different against NHL players, but he's strong enough to be able to do that. He can get the puck in the net, and he scored almost a goal per game in juniors. And the reason I say that is other skills are pretty good. You know, he's pretty feisty, skates all right. The only thing you can say about him, like as a player, is his whole mindset playing is hunting goals. That's all he cares about. He doesn't look like he's, you know, if it's between him and another guy, he's firing the puck. All right. Okay. He's not going to do the extra pass or whatever. Although, you know, it doesn't mean he's a bad teammate. He just, that's his mission. I score goals. I think the Red Wings need a guy like that. And if you're going to take somebody, take him. The fact that he's physically mature for his age, and I believe that's what they're saying, right? That he's,
yeah. I believe, yeah. It read weird. Once you started explaining it, that made a lot of sense.
You know, and we've talked about this before. What's a player going to be like at 22 or 23? It's like you talked about Moritz Seider, you know, a little bit when we were talking there. And it's like Moritz Seider at 23, 24 years old is going to be, you know, 220 and an absolute monster. It's, you know, you saw that a bit with Rasmus Dahlin this year when he started to mature. So with this kid, you know, you're going to have, you know, maybe not as much growth that way. They have to project that, which makes the hockey draft difficult. But there is a skill set that he has that's not – it doesn't matter. It's unique. It's his ability to shoot the puck, his hands in that situation. So that's a name I haven't heard, you know, a lot of people mention. But I guess he's on everybody's radar now because I think they noticed some of the same things that I noticed about it. And again, I could see where, you know, this kid's been in the 20s, I think, in a lot of the prospects things that I've read. But he is somebody that, as you look at this, could fit the Red Wings. And he does have one skill. Look, when you're looking at players, you want to have players that can do multitudes of things that doesn't have like one flaw that keeps them off the ice or whatever. But if their skill level is good enough that they can handle those things and they have one exceptional thing, that's what you're looking for.
I'm glad you said that. One of my, you know, the guy too, Darren McCarty, he's a pretty good friend of mine. And he told me, and obviously I'm a hockey novice, but he told me when he was coming up, his coach told him, you have to be in that 99th percentile at one thing, be better than every single player at one certain thing. If you can find that one thing, then maybe you will have a chance. And he said he found his one thing being a bully and this, that, and the other thing. But the question I have about this year's draft, and I think you're the perfect guy to answer this, is will Steve Yzerman feel a little bit of urgency in this draft to where, like, Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond came up relatively quick? Is he going to be looking for a guy? Because I feel like there's going to be a little bit more pressure on Yzerman this year and the following years coming up to start producing and get to the playoffs. Will he feel the urgency? Will he'll have to draft a player that's more ready to play today, vice versa, a guy coming through the pipeline in 2 to 3 years?
Well,
did I word that correctly? You know what I mean? Like with
you know what, you hear a lot of chatter recently on our station, and I try to not get it sarcastic about it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's not a lot of, like, people into hockey. Although Jeff Rieger is, and he mentioned the Matthews thing, which made me kind of laugh. We had some fun on Twitter about it. My highly
esteemed chum.
Yeah, my chum. Did you see that? And but Rieger, you know, he's covered the sport a lot. and he understands it, and he's very emotional. So he looks at it from a fan's standpoint. It's one of the things why I think he's such a great host. And I mean that sincerely, because he's been a Detroit fan all his life, and he lets emotion get in there, and he's not afraid to, you know, say something like that, and knowing that somebody like me is going to kick back at him a little bit, and we'll have some fun.
There's nothing wrong with healthy debate, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And so, but a lot of the talk is like, you know, it's like people don't know a lot about it. Yeah, don't even want to talk about it, you know, that type of thing. Oh, hockey doesn't mean anything and all that. So when I look at it, you know, I get a little sarcastic when I start seeing some of the stuff that I see. But I think the hockey people understand that Yzerman understands that, you know, there's no miracle cure here. I do think, you know, that he has to make a trade. There's a couple trade possibilities. They're not going to be trading for Austin Matthews. I don't see that one in the future or something quite as bold as that. And a lot of the people who want Austin Matthews probably never even seen him play. But the bottom line about it is, he's going to do what he thinks is right. He's going to take the best player. I don't think he's going to fall into that vacuum. Okay. You know, that kind of vacuum that, you know, the Lions used to fall into, you know, get the quarterback or get the running back or whatever. They took the running back.
With
their
fans.
Yeah, they took the running back. Well, I like this new regime. They took the running back when nobody wanted the running back because they felt it was the best thing. Sure. For the organization, they don't really care what you or I think or anything. They do what they think is right. Yzerman will definitely do that. You know, the question is he might take a defenseman. That's not out of the realm of possibility, even though they've taken a lot of defensemen, and there doesn't appear to be as many high-end defensemen in this draft as some other years. So he'll do what he thinks is right. He might trade that pick. That's definitely on the line here. I don't think there's any question. He's got two first-round picks. And he needs somebody that can come in and score. And there's some trade possibilities, which I'll get into in my column. You know, if your possibility you were in the column here and you're watching this because you were in the column.
Right. But, what could number nine fetch you, Pat?
Well, I could fetch you. Well, I think the ideal guy.
A player, like a current NHL player?
Well, the player that I would be targeting, I'd be all over this. I'd be all over Ottawa. All right, I'd be looking at two players. One is Alex DeBrincat, who is from Farmington. Obviously, they had a pretty good team last year. They stayed in playoff contention. They knocked the crap out of the Wings and all that. But DeBrincat was on the second line, and he's better than that. He was minus 31, but it was a bit misleading. They had terrible defense, and he can score. And people say, well, he's like 5'6" or whatever. I don't know. He's a tough kid. It doesn't matter. He does bring some edge to him, even though he's shorter. You know, he's got a little ball of hate thing in him. You know, people try to pick on him. He's not somebody that you want him on your team, and they need him desperately. You put him on a line with Dylan Larkin, Larkin might score 90 points. So that to me is, you know, somebody I would target. And also Josh Norris, another local kid who was hurt last year, 19th overall pick, San Jose, traded for Erickson when they made that deal with the Sharks. He was drafted by San Jose, plays at the level of Larkin, was hurt last year, missed most of the year. Ottawa's in flux. They don't draw many people. The value of the franchise is near the bottom. They're not a team that necessarily is ready to compete now, but will be in the future. And draft picks or younger players may interest them. And DeBrincat, I don't claim to know what he's thinking, but I have talked to him a long time ago. But he's somebody that I would look at. And I'm writing about that. He played on the same line with Connor McDavid and Strome. And he was a third overall pick, Dylan Strome at Erie. And everybody said, well, you know, this kid who wasn't even drafted into the O and made the team through tryouts and everything, it's only because he played with those guys. His numbers only went up when those guys graduated from the junior program in Erie, the Erie Otters. So, and he was a big-time scorer for Chicago. He could keep up pace with Kane and Taves when they were good. And seriously is, you know, a player that they should look at. He's right in the backyard here. You look out the studio, you might see where he lived.
Well, okay, so that's interesting that you said that. My question would be, would that make
He's a restricted free agent. So
would that make more sense than drafting a player at nine to try
It would. He's 25 years old. So sure. He's just entering his prime. So, and his best years are ahead of him. He had a bad year last year statistically, but it wasn't because he can't play. I mean, he definitely can play. It was just not a good situation for him. And you say, well, he was on that team. That top line had Tkachuk. That top line had Stützle. That top line had Giroux. He was on the second line. He was centered by, I think it was Pinto. Now, you can come back and say, well, Norris is going to be back. You know, but Norris is interesting too because, you know, again, local ties. His father's a very astute hockey person. Evan, you'll be happy to know he started Michigan State.
Smart
his father. So, and you know, from the Golden Grizzlies hockey program, which has nothing to do with Oakland University, developed some top end players. And you know, 30 goal scorer in the league, but missed the year. You know, and what's Ottawa going to do with those guys? What would draft capital do? Ottawa needs defense. You know, that's the other thing. And the Red Wings do have some defensive prospects to possibly, you know, pass along to them. So that would be interesting. And those two teams are on the same rivalry track.
Okay.
With Buffalo as teams that are developing younger players. You know, Buffalo had Power that was first overall. Dolan's come into his own. Tage Thompson scored all these goals for him, a former college player at UConn. And both those teams punked the Red Wings big time, you know, on the road, especially last year. I mean, just destroyed them. So the Red Wings got to compete with those teams because they're the more pertinent teams than Washington and Pittsburgh and some of the other teams that are starting to slide in the Eastern Conference. The Red Wings are third in that race right now. So Yzerman's got to do something that way, and it starts with he's got to get tougher players. You know, they did get pushed around. I mean, Buffalo and Ottawa both embarrassed them, particularly Ottawa because those games had so much focus on it, and Tkachuk was out there calling on their bench. Then they had to have Larkin go over there and, do an interference penalty, take a shot at him. You can't – you got to be tougher than that. You got to figure out better ways to defend for yourself on the ice. And Ottawa just embarrassed him. I think Novakovic's career ended in Detroit that night in Buffalo, where they were just bombing him with shots, you know, doing the big arm celebration after goals. And the one guy picked up the puck and tried to do the lacrosse, you know, Michigan goal thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just you got to start to answer the challenge. And they got to get some competitive guys that way. What I like about DeBrincat, even though he's small, he suffers no fools on the ice. And, like I said, he's got that – they need some edge, and he's got that edge. And there's also one of the players that I would look at, and I know it's going to sound terrible to a lot of people, but Lucas Raymond's got to step it up, all right? He has to step it up. Bergeron has to step it up. And it's not that they're not skilled players. They don't care. They don't try. But they have to learn how to. We're going to get inside a little bit more, all right, not play all the time out on the perimeter. And in the case of Raymond, he's got to go through the process that Larkin did early in his career where teams just take shots at him. So, and then after a while, I think it had its effect on him.
Well, so, Pat, who would be to blame – that the Red Wings don't have these guys on their current team? Like, has hockey changed so much where I know fighting isn't as prevalent as it used to be, but have the players changed to where they don't want to muck it up as much?
Well, here's the first thing. The penalty costs you. You can't go in there and do a lot of hero things for your teammates because you get the second man in. Instigator penalties, you know, come down. So it isn't about just having a fighter.
Okay.
Go sign Ryan Reeves or something. No, that isn't what it's about. I think what it's about is, you know, having to be tough, you know, hits. You know, they just started getting out hit. It wasn't, somebody was beating them up. You know, there were points where it looked like they got their heads down and other teams just skate over their face. And those games against Buffalo on the road and in Ottawa. It looked like that. So that's an issue. So you got to get guys who stand up at that point. You know, Sider's got some toughness, but he at some point did that. And Bertuzzi was still on the team. They should look to try to get him back too.
Okay.
That's something that they should look to because, you know, if he's healthy, he's a really good player. But, you know, they have to get guys that aren't, you know, you can't have a bunch of players who aren't going to get in there and scrap all the time. You need different types of players, but and they got to step up in that tough category. And if they don't, you got to look to move on. You know, and Hronek, you know, when they moved on from him, I understood why he was so inconsistent. And, you know, there was a lot there, and they really got a lot for him. But I have to say, with Hronek, you know, he did have a little bit of edge to him once in a while. You know, so by the end of the year, when he wasn't on the team and Bertuzzi wasn't on the team, you know, and there were games. Evan, there was a game they played against Dallas in the third period. It was serious. They lost it like 5-0 or something like that, in which there were no whistles. It was like watching a game of shinny out there because Dallas is trying to get off the ice and the Red Wings are just trying to get off the ice. The way the season ended wasn't good from the standpoint of effort. And it kind of nullified a lot of the gains that they actually made. The other thing, too, that they very much need, very underrated aspect with the Red Wings, is puck possession. Their Corsi was still down like 47, meaning they possessed the puck 47% of the time, even strength. And you can't win doing that. You just can't. There have been teams that have done it because they got a great power play or you know, special teams. The Wings certainly don't have that. They were better last year, but they don't. Puts too much pressure on your goalie. You're always chasing the puck. Too many times that happened. DeBrincat, even last year, his Corsi was 59. So when he's on the ice, his team has the puck. So that's why I'm looking at that. They need goal scorers, and they need puck possession. They need more toughness. Now, there's a couple things, though, we would talk about their system. Carter Mazur may contribute to them next year and significantly. Carter Mazur was a third-round pick. He's from Jackson, Michigan. He played on Denver University when they won the championship, not this year, but the year before. This year, he scored a lot of goals. I think he was a Hobie. He obviously was a Hobie Baker finalist. He had 5 points in 5 games at Grand Rapids, playing for the U.S., in the world championships, he's certainly looked in place. He's looked good, actually. So he may contribute, and he's a tough kid. He's going to get in there and he's going to compete. He'll knock some people around, and he gets knocked down. He'll check the number of who knocked him down. They need that type of player, and he may contribute right away and help them. I don't know what they're going to get. Edvinson's had an injury here. Marco Kasper got injured when he was playing, but he certainly did well last year. Watch out for Amadeus Lombardi. He's a fourth-round pick. Small player, but he was fantastic for Flint this year. And a hard name to forget, Amadeus Lombardi. Evan, you'll remember that one.
So I remember the Lombardi part.
Yeah, so... they got a couple players that could be coming up and contributing to them, but I would look to Mazur in particular as somebody that could come up and, people will like him, I think, when they see him. So, but that's our podcast for today. Now, look, we'll get into the draft very deep. You know, I just gave you a name, you know, and it's a name that's possible and why that name is possible. Evidently, others have – you know, looked at that too and talked to a few people and, you know, got an idea on it as well and why. But, we'll start out with that. And I know Evan thinks every time I come up with one of those guys, the Wings are going to draft them because
they're right.
Best. And I'm not so sure, you know, I can do that every year. It's like I didn't come up with Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions this year. I'm sorry.
I know. Shame on you.
Shame on me. So, that's somebody that I would look at and why, and have some column on the Red Wings as well. And we'll have other podcasts before the draft. Don't forget to check it out. We'll get into the baseball draft here soon. As Evan said, it's our time of the year. And we got a lot of podcasts about drafts. The NBA draft, we'll try to figure that one out. Whoa! You know, and that's Evan's area of expertise. So, oh, man, Evan, you got that one. You got that one covered.
Okay.
Cam Whitmore?
I think it's going to be very similar to the Red Wings. Try to move that pick.
Yeah, try to move the pick. And I hear, you can go out and get several great players here. Actually, I got a player for the Pistons, too, actually to trade for. Evan, who do you think it is?
Jeez, I have no idea, Pat. The Pistons are such a conundrum for me that I have no – give me a hint. Give me a hint.
John Collins.
Who, from Atlanta? I like him. I like his game a lot, and I don't think him and what's going on with Trae Young and that whole getting rid of Nate McMillan and that train wreck. I know Quinn Snyder's their coach now, but I agree. I like his game a lot. Problem is the Pistons have all these bigs. So we'll get into it another time.
Well, he's not a big, really.
He's a four that can really stretch it. But
do you realize that his career field goal per shooting percentage is? No. You got to look it up, man. You got to look it up, Evan. You got some homework 60%? To do. Pardon?
It's 60%
field goal? No, not 60. Jeez, but it's top 38 all time in the NBA.
55%, huh? Jeez, shoots 35 from three. I'd take him.
Yeah, he's been over 40 before. He had a terrible year this year, but I think it was more like, hey, man, Trey's got the ball.
Yeah, the team is just weird. That's just a weird team. And Sadiq Bey probably took his minutes.
Yeah, by the way, man, just a little revisionist history, not to totally digress, which we've done. Mm-hmm. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a hell of a player, isn't he?
Jeez, him and Bruce Brown.
He plays, Bruce Brown. I mean – both those guys play defense too. Great defense. Caldwell Pope at the end of the game last night was terrific. He hits threes at like 40%.
It's unbelievable to sit there.
All
and watch.
Those Pistons fans that got mad at Joe, and Joe messed up a lot at the end. But you're angst about not taking Trey Burke. Just saying. And for those who love Troy Weaver, and I think he's doing a good job and all that, but you know what? He didn't get anything for Bruce Brown.
Nothing.
So there we go. Evan and I, man. Little revisionist history to end the podcast. Don't forget to like us. All right. Don't forget to download us. Don't forget the iTunes store.
Yep.
Google Play Store. Odyssey.com. Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter and King of the KC. You can find it there and on the Facebook page. All those things. I put it in the columns that I write, and I'm going to be writing a bunch of columns. So, check us out, and we appreciate it. Talk to you next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.